into the message. Christians are saved for one reason and one reason only, and that is because they have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and all God's people said. Salvation is trusting Jesus plus nothing, minus nothing. As my pastor, Brother Eric Tharp, used to say often, getting saved changes your eternal destiny, and that's it. Now, of course, there's more to it theologically. Obviously, we know we get the Holy Spirit and we can now fight against the old nature. But listen, salvation does not magically transform a man's character, does it? How many of you have met somebody, forgive me, that was a bit of a, what's the word I'm looking for, a delicate pastoral word, jerk? You knew somebody who was a jerk, and he got saved, and now he was a saved jerk. How many of you knew somebody? You don't have to raise your hand. We all know somebody. Listen, why is that? Because after we trust Jesus Christ, it's up to us to build upon the faith that Christ has given us. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen? It's up to us to build our faith. It's up to us to, on this Wednesday night, to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's up to us that 2 Peter tells us that we're given exceeding precious promises, that we be partakers of the divine nature, and then it tells us, giving all diligence to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And then he says this in 2 Peter 1:8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make it that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about how we're going to appear, Brother Pipko, at the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to give an account for how we built. So Paul tells us, take heed thereto wherein you build. He said, we have to build our faith. You know, there are really three ways or three methods that a Christian can choose to live by. First of all, they can live by feelings. These aren't just our charismatic brethren. You know, we talk about they're just waiting for some feeling. Well, I got to be honest with you, Brother Boston. When I got saved, there was no feeling. I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. You say, Pastor, did you get cold chills going up your back? And did you feel all warm on the inside? Nope, I got saved. I trusted Jesus Christ. But there are Christians that live by feeling. Listen, there are people, listen, yea, even members of Loomis Park Baptist Church that are not here tonight because they didn't feel like coming. I don't mean everybody that's not here is not here because they didn't feel like coming. Some had to work. Some couldn't make it. Obviously, we talk about people like magic. But listen, there are some people tonight that don't come on Wednesday because they didn't feel like coming. Listen, you know, this may shock you, but pastors don't always feel like coming to church. Oh, Pastor, you're a heretic. No, no. No, I just choose not to live by feeling. Amen? I don't witness because I don't feel like it. I don't pray because I don't feel like it. I don't read my Bible because I don't feel like it. I don't remain faithful to my marriage vows because I don't feel like it anymore. I don't feel the love I used to feel. Fooey on living by feeling. Amen. Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God. Naught else is worth believing. Amen. Martin Luther wrote that. You know, Christians that live by feeling are eerily immature. Everything offends them. Even people that are saved for years, they're spiritual pygmies. Why? Because they're living by feeling. And can I say this? They're emotionally driven. It's always the emotions. Fooey on living by feeling. But there are Christians that live by feeling. There are other Christians that live by sight. They say things like, well, I can't see it. And if I can't see it, I can't believe it. You know, that's contrary to the Bible. Living by... You know, when I think of a character that lived by sight, I always think of Lot. What did Lot and Abraham do when they separated themselves, when their herdsmen couldn't get along, and Uncle Abraham said, Lot, you choose the way you go, and he looked out over the well-watered plains of Jordan. And he lived by sight. And can I say this? Certainly trusting in what we can see can lend itself towards worldliness and carnality. And all God's people said, amen. So a Christian can live by feelings. They can live by sight. But we're supposed to live by faith, ladies and gentlemen. We're supposed to live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4 was the first place it was said where the just shall live by his faith. It was repeated in Romans chapter 1, verse 17. The just shall live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith and not by sight. Look at our text. Verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then if you jump down to verse 6, it says there, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God wants us, and yea, demands that if we are ever going to please Him, we are going to have to live by faith. Faith. So what are some definitions of faith? Well, there's a lot of them. A lot of people have a lot of good. I want to give you two tonight that have been a blessing to me. I wrote them in the margin of my Bible. One is by a 20th century preacher named Vance Havner, one of the greatest preachers. If you ever want to read good preaching, get any of Vance Havner's books. They're all expensive. They're all out of print. But I want to tell you, there was not too many people better with the English language than Vance Havner. He said this, faith is a sturdy confidence that God will keep His promises. Confidence enough to walk out on them and live there, although the world expects them to crack and crumble under you any day. That's faith. Another preacher who started Dallas Theological Seminary, it's certainly not what it once was when this preacher started it, his name is Lewis Sperry Chafer. He said this, and I like this, faith is simple confidence that God is and that He will faithfully do what He has promised. That's faith. That God is and He will do what He said. I want to encourage you tonight, according to this blessed old book, I want to preach to you a message called Things That I Know by Faith. And those two little words, I know, you'll find them in 135 verses in the Bible. Sometimes God is speaking, sometimes man is speaking. I want to give you 10 of those little I knows tonight. Some things that we can absolutely know from the Scriptures by faith. Number one, the first thing, I want you to go to Genesis chapter 24. And let's look at the first I know. Genesis chapter number 24, we mentioned this text in our message on Sunday, but it certainly wouldn't hurt us to go over it again here. Genesis 24, and begin reading in verse number 13. And here we have the story of Abraham's servant, and he's going out to find a bride for Isaac. Abraham said, I don't want you to go amongst Canaanites. I don't want you to go amongst the world to find a bride for my son. I want you to go up against my people. Find a bride out of my people. Amen. My kindred. And he says in verse 13, behold, I stand here by a well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall, circle the next two words there, I know that thou hast showed me kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, praying to God here, right? Behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled up her pitcher and came. And the servant ran to meet her. And she said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she hasted and let down the pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking." And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace to whither wit the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring and a half shekel weight and two braces for her hands and 10 shekels weight of gold. You say, "Pastor, what are you trying to see in that first I know?" I know by faith God answers prayer. Listen, the world will tell you we're fools to believe that. You don't have any facts. I don't want facts. I want faith. Amen. And here you look at this story very specifically. The servant specifically prays to God and God answers it. You know, listen, I know that there is some conditions on prayer. Amen. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Amen. There's some conditions. We got to come to God clean and we've got to confess our sins and be a vessel that He can bless. But I want to tell you something. Hey, Brother Wally, God answers prayer. God answers prayer, amen. I know that by faith. So listen, let's take that and not just know it, let's pray. Let's pray. Listen, let's pray that God will open a door for the Loggins family. God can do it. Let's pray for God's next man here at Loomis Park Baptist Church. By the way, I thank God for those of you that pray for me. I know so many of you do. Listen, I need it. I promise you, the devil's working overtime on me. But God answers prayer. God answers prayer. That's the first thing I know by faith from the Scripture, that God answers prayer. Number two, go over to the book of Job. Amen. The book of Job, chapter 19. Something else. Just a little bit of a word study here. If you have a Bible program, you can do what's called a word search. And Hopefully, you may find a whole lot more, and there's a bunch more. I couldn't do them all, amen? But the second thing I see is in Job chapter 19, verse 25. It says there, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God." What is it, the secondly, that we know by faith? I know this. One day, Brother Lowell, I'm going to see Jesus face to face. One day. It says, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." And what's it say? "And in my flesh I shall see God." Hey, listen, Jesus lived, and like Ben Franklin, that it says on his grave, if it says Ben Franklin, "Here lies Ben Franklin, food for worms." You don't preach that too much at funeral sermons. Amen. But Ben Franklin said that. Hey, you know what? Jesus lives. My body's going to go down and eventually be eaten by the worms. But God's going to give me a new body. Amen. And I'm going to see Him face to face. I know by faith I'll see my Redeemer. And as Fanny Crosby wrote, "I shall know Him. Oh, I shall know Him by the prints of the nails in His hands." Hey, listen, one day we're going to see Jesus. Hey, you know what else I think about? Every time I think about that, Brother Heath, I'm going to stand before Him. I'm going to stand before Him. And I don't mean I'm going to stand all puffed up. Oh, no, we're going to be prostrate down before Him. But listen to me. I'm going to give an account for my life. You're going to give an account for your life, how we lived it. Number two, one day I'll see Jesus. Number one, God answers prayer. Number three, go to Psalms chapter 119. Psalms chapter 119, quickly, in verse number 75, something else I know. It says the first two words there, you can circle them, you can mark them. "I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. What do you know, thirdly, Pastor? I know this, God's word is right. When God's word and I disagree, God's word is right. You see, that's the difference between living by feeling and living by faith. Somebody said on a bumper sticker several years ago, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That's wrong. That's wrong. God said it, that settles it, whether you and I believe it or not. God's word is always right. God's word is right. Thank God for the series Brother Sammons did on the King James Bible. Listen, I was King James before that series, but I want to tell you, it was like mortar into my bricks, Brother Holy. I am cemented in the fact that this is God's word, amen, and it's right. You read it over and over in Psalm chapter 119. I've got my Bible all scarred up. The word of God is mentioned 182 times in this chapter, and it's right. Thy judgments, thy testimonies, thy precepts, all about the Word of God. God's Word is right. One day I'll see Jesus. God answers prayer. Number four, go to Ecclesiastes. Right after the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Two will be in Ecclesiastes for 2 points here. Points number four and five. Point number four. Ecclesiastes 3:14. Great, great verse. Never seen this verse. You ought to mark this verse. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken away from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before Him. What's our fourth point, Pastor? God's work is eternal. Anything that God does is eternal. You know, that's why we believe in eternal security, Brother Boston, amen. We believe why? Because there's nothing called unsalvation. Amen. You either got salvation and it was the eternal work of God, or you didn't. Amen. And if you trusted Christ and did what God said, God did an eternal work in your heart of salvation. God does an eternal work of sanctification. God does an eternal work of calling, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Amen. Whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Hey, He's building and preparing a place called heaven. Thank God that's eternal. Amen. He's going to give us an eternal body that's incorruptible. Whatsoever God doeth, it shall be eternal. God's work is eternal. Go over just a couple pages to Ecclesiastes chapter 8, point number 5. God answers prayer. One day I will see Jesus. God's word is right. God's work is eternal. Ecclesiastes 8:12. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged. Doesn't that frustrate you? Doesn't that frustrate you? When you see somebody that's just plain out wicked and hates God, and yet they live a long life. By the way, don't ever mistake the mercy and long suffering for God for the passivity that you think God is. He's being merciful, but He's filling up that cup as we learned in Revelation. Amen. Look what it says after that. Yet surely, what are the next two words, class? I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before Him. What's the fifth point, Pastor? Living for God has its benefits. Living for God has its... What does it say there? You see this wicked sinner 100 times and his days are prolonged. Yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before Him. God blesses both here and in the hereafter those who faithfully walk before Him in the fear of the Lord. God blesses. You say, well, they don't have what this person has. And they don't have all the problems that come with it either. So you say, boy, if I just had all this money. Listen, you talk to people that really have money and really have to work money. They'll tell you there's a million problems that go along with it. And if God hadn't given it to you, it's okay. Amen. He knows. Living for God has its benefits. Listen, I would rather live for God
than be rich and not know Him.
I'd rather live for God than to walk in all the pleasures that this world has. Because God said, at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Do you know that? He said that. Whatever the world can come up with for pleasures, God's got it beat in heaven one day. Amen? Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, living for God has its benefits. Number 6, go to Jonah. Jonah. Little book of Jonah. Do you know who knows their Bible by how long it takes you to find Jonah? Amen? Said the pastor as he hunted for Jonah. Amen? Amen. There it is. I hear more pages turning. Amen? I was at the tent meeting with out in New England with my mother, and my mother saved many years ago profession of faith, but of course my dad was an atheist, and so she didn't really have a lot of time to grow and get with God and because of her husband. But she was asking me, the pastor turned to an odd book of the Bible, and for her it was Colossians. It's not too odd for those of us that know our Bibles, but she said, where is that? I said, you go to the front of your Bible. I was reproving my mother. It was wrong, Mrs. Howland. Amen. I said, you go to the front of your Bible to that index and you find it, Mom. You'll find it right there. Then you can find it on your own. By the way, that's how you learn to find Jonah and Habakkuk. Amen. And all the other minor prophets. Amen. You say, what is number 6, Pastor? Look at Jonah 1:12. And I know you know the story of Jonah. And I'm hurrying here. The story of Jonah here. God says to go this way. Jonah goes the other way. He goes down into a ship. He goes 2,000 miles from where he should. And this great storm comes up. And all of a sudden, all the people on there, they cast lots. And the lot goes to Jonah. And Jonah says this in verse 12. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake, this great tempest is upon you. What's the 6th thing that I know by faith? I know when God is chastening me. Somebody say amen. You better know when God's chastening you. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons, the Bible says. Listen, my boys get chastened because they're mine. I don't chasten other people's children. I would love to chasten other people's children sometimes. Amen? But they're not mine. Brother Pipko, you chasing your boys. You're their daddy. That's what our daddy does. And I'll tell you this, you and I, we know when we're being chastened by God. By the way, every one of us ought to be getting chastened by God. Here's the best way to get chastened by God. Chasten. I come to His Word. Like we said before, God's Word is always right. And I come to His Word and I see something I'm doing or some rotten attitude that I have. And I have to say, God, thank you for chastening me. Thank you for smiting my heart. Forgive me. Hey, listen, I know by faith when God is chastening me. Number 7, and I love this one. I could preach this. It's 8:15. I can't preach it long. Amen. John chapter 9. John chapter 9, I'll fly through these last few here, and we'll be done. I promise you we'll be done by 8:30. John chapter 9, oh, what a verse. Love this story. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible is John chapter 9, the man born blind. But you come to verse 25, and the Pharisees are grilling this man whom Jesus healed. And they keep grilling him, and they finally cast him out because they don't like the answers he gives. But as he says this in look at what they say in verse 24. They said, then again called they the man that was blind. And by the way, only when Jesus touches you can you say that you were blind. Amen. And he said unto them, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. And he answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. But one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Can I tell you this? By faith, no glory to me, all glory to God, all glory to Jesus Christ. I know Jesus saved me. I know Jesus saved me. Listen, if I didn't have anything else, if I didn't have a call of God on my life, if I didn't have, you go through the things of the riches that we have in Christ, I know one thing, Brother Taverni, and it's that Jesus saved me. I know it. I was blind, and literally after He saved me, it was like God peeled the blinders off, Brother Heath, and I could see life for what it really was, a spiritual battle. That blind man, he said, I don't know all about Jesus. All I know is this morning I was blind, and this evening I'm looking at the sunset. Amen? I know Jesus saved me by faith. Number 8, go to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Just a couple more. 8, 9, and 10 here. I don't have time to camp on any of these. I'd like to, but I can't. Amen? Romans chapter 7. Look at verse number 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. What is the 8th thing? I know that the flesh cannot be trusted. The flesh cannot be trusted. Your flesh and my flesh, no matter how long you've been saved, it's corrupt, it's wicked, it's wretched, and if given the opportunity, it will seek to please itself every chance it gets. And listen, if it's left unchecked, it'll betray every piece of godly teaching or prayer that your mother or your Sunday school teacher or your preacher has tried to instill in you. If you give the flesh an opportunity, it will betray you. I know that the flesh cannot be trusted. Listen, that's why we ought not to give occasion to the flesh. We ought not to give opportunity to the flesh. We ought to stay away from things that, as Hebrews talks about, the sin that so easily doth beset us. Listen, fellow, stay off that computer late at night. Amen. For some of you, it's no problem. Say, I don't have a computer. Listen, stay away from watching garbage on the television. Your flesh will betray you. Listen, don't be too friendly with the opposite sex. Amen. Your flesh will betray you. It can't be trusted. Number 9. 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. In verse number 12, we referenced this in our message Sunday morning as well. 1 Corinthians 13, great love chapter, amen. If you want to know how to treat your spouse, just read 1 Corinthians 13. If you'll do that, I promise you have a good marriage. You say, wow, really? Yeah, it says right there, charity suffereth long and is kind, verse 4. Envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Sounds to me like if I put my spouse above myself and I love them more than I love me, I'll have a pretty good marriage. Amen. That's not the verse we're looking at, but they're good verses. Amen. Verse 12, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Say, what's the 9th point, Pastor? God is working even though I can't see it. God is working even though I can't see it. I think about that in my coming to be your pastor 2 years ago. First of all, I had never heard of Jackson, Michigan before. Honestly, I went to Bible college in Pontiac, but Pontiac's a long way away. That's 100 miles from here. I had never heard of Jackson, Michigan before. And here I was an associate pastor. I was working a job. And the whole time, Brother Horsch, as soon as I got out of Bible college in 2001 at the age of 29, I knew God wanted me to be a senior pastor. So I became a youth pastor and worked and enjoyed that for 5 years. And then I became an associate pastor and soloist and enjoyed that and worked a job. And I wanted to be a senior pastor, but God was working, but I couldn't see it. God was working. And God allowed me to come here. And again, never hearing of Jackson, Michigan. And meeting you dear people and you calling me to be your pastor. Listen, that was something that I was, Uncle Joe, looking through a glass darkly. I didn't really see what God saw. Listen, in your life, especially when you can't see that God is working, know that He is. He's working. He's doing something in your life. He loves you. You're His child. He wouldn't leave you, amen? He's working. A lot of times it's behind the scenes. The tapestry is a great example. If you've ever seen a tapestry before, on the one side of the tapestry that they show, Brother Heath, it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's all kinds of patterns and stuff. But if you go on the other side, those of you that sew, you know, there's strings, pulls, little ripples, and it doesn't look so good. You know what? We're on that side of the tapestry right now. We see the strings and the pulls, and we see all the flaws and faults. But on the other side, God's got the perfect side. He's working. I know by faith He's working. And then lastly, number 10, go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I know God answers prayer. Amen? I know one day I will see Jesus. I know God's Word is right. I know God's work is eternal. I know living for God has its benefits. I know when God is chastening me. I know that Jesus saved me. I know the flesh cannot be trusted. I know God is working even when I can't see it. And I know, verse 12, 2 Timothy 1, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. You know, I know the flesh cannot be trusted, but lastly, I know this, number 10, I know God can be trusted. Because I've trusted Him with that which is most precious to me, my soul. My eternal soul. It says there that I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. You know, there was a day when I stood at an altar with my wife and I made vows not only to her and not to that preacher, not to that congregation, but I made them to God. And I know God can be trusted. There was a day where we stood with our little boys and dedicated them to God. Why? Because I know by faith that God can be trusted. You can trust God. You can trust God. There are some things that I know by faith. Oh, do you have the facts, Pastor? Don't want the facts. Do you have the feelings, Pastor? Don't want the feelings. Do you have the sight, Pastor? Don't want the sight. I'm living by faith. And that's what God wants. Let's live by faith.